please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.
Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سيدنا ونبينا محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. My dearest brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is probably maybe the seventh or eighth speech I give within about 48 hours, talking about more or less the same thing, which is how to prepare for Ramadan. And it seems to me that I'm afraid that we spend more time talking about Ramadan and we actually give little thought about making an effort and resolving to expose ourselves to the fruits of Ramadan. So we talk, I'm sure that every year it is the same thing. Masajid and youth movements, they have programs about welcome Ramadan. You hear about basically the same things from the Quran and from the Hadith and from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the practice of the Sahaba. But where we take it from there, that's the question. And Muslims should not be like debaters of a doctrine, but when it comes to real action, they should be there. So this is just a thought that comes to my mind as I am giving these speeches over and over again, that where we take it from there, you know, are we really desiring to do something, actually do something? We know most of us are experts now about the hadith about Ramadan, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ramadan, but again, are we going to do the effort, actually do the effort, and expose ourselves to these tremendous blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a question that I'm going to leave for you and me, of course. I would like to start with a couple of incidents that will put Ramadan in perspective for all of us, sisters and brothers. One time, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was a visionary person, and he was one of the strongest human being this ummah, as a matter of fact, this humanity has ever seen. And one time he was sitting among the Sahaba, and their discussion, the discussion of the Sahaba, always was fruitful, something beneficial. Not just talking about how bad people are, how silly people are, or backbiting. They made it a point that whatever their conversation might be, it is something beneficial, something good. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu initiated a discussion, and he posed a question to the rest of the Sahaba, and he said, "Wish something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. So what is it that you will make as your wish from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" So one sahabi said that, "I wish from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you tons of money so that I can spend it in his cause," which is a good thing. And then another sahabi said that, "I wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give me tons of gold and silver equals to the mountain, so that I can also spend it in his cause." And when the turn of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came, he said something profound. He said that, "I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give me strong human beings, like of which Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, so that they can help me to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now this statement, by and large, is one of the most profound statements, because when we talk about strengthening this ummah globally and locally, what is it that we need the most? Yes, money is important, is a tool of empowering the Muslim Ummah. But without me and you, Muslims are not going to go anywhere. So the profundity of the statement of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab is that essentially us are the important tool for reviving this Ummah. Without us, who else is going to do it? Even if we have tons of money, who is actually, if we build fabulous masajid, but 50 years from now, if we don't work on ourselves and we don't work on the young people, who is going to occupy and visit and maintain these humongous places? So, what is so special about Ramadan is that it has something to, it's a message for us to work on ourselves. And this is the beginning of the stage of the upgrading of this Muslim Ummah. This is the first incident I would like you to bear in mind as we are talking about Ramadan. The second incident is an incident, as a matter of fact, it's a question that was posed to Sayyidina al-Imam Abi Hanifa, Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man, radiallahu anhu, one of the founders of the four Sunni schools of thought. And Imam Abu Hanifa was not only a teacher, he was also a businessman, and he was also Zahid, a person who started a tradition. Yes, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, him and his disciples were not just students of knowledge, but they were also involved in a Qiyam al-Layl program. They used to do it almost every day. And amazingly, they used to be more energetic during the day. They did not fell asleep or they were not tired. And this was an amazing thing for the person who proposed this question to Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. He said, what is it so special about you guys that, you know, you study the whole day and you feel very energetic. You feel like you are very strong. What is it? What is the secret behind it? And Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said that the secret behind us getting this energy is standing in prayer in the middle of the night. It's an amazing answer. Because if you do not sleep good at night, you end up getting fatigue and weak during the day. But if you stand in prayer, seclude yourself, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you energy. And I'm saying this because the month of Ramadan is, you know, basically we have to fast and we have to stand up in prayer, in taraweeh. Not we have to, it is a recommendation, I'm sorry. It is a strong recommendation. Now, we should not think that these things are meant to make us weak and you know, feeble. Rather, the Islamic way of doing it is that, as a matter of fact, if we do it with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us energy and the strength. And if you don't believe me, try it. And the words of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa is a testimony to this. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he expanded on this statement of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu. And he wrote a profound book. Unfortunately, there is no translation available in English. But this is a profound book. It is made up, the whole book was made up as a response to a question about the effects or the impacts of committing sins on our life. That was a practical question posed by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu anhu, and he reflected on this question, and he came up with a profound book talking about the impact of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our life, and the impact of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our life. And one of the profound things Imam Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu anhu said about the impact of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned like over 35 points you get when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first point is the strengthening of the body. When you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you strength of the body. And the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a testimony to this. He was well built up and he was very strong. And the second is satisfaction in the heart. The third is light in the face. Your face will light up. And the fourth is increase in rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your rizq. As I said, there are over 35 points that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu anhu in his book Al-Jawabul Kafi mentioned. So the two points I started with again is the profound statement of Imam Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that the most important tool that we need as Muslims is me and you. We have to work on ourselves. And then we can think about the other tools later on. But we have to start with ourselves. We have to make ourselves like quality human beings. The second statement is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us energy and strength. Now, having said this, we know that Ramadan is approaching. We have almost 1 week. And I'll start with a famous hadith. Yes, of course, we know, and Brother Altaf Hussain alluded to this, is that during the month of Ramadan, devils, shayateen are chained, locked up. But right before Ramadan, they are very active. Because the shayateen will make a special effort to distract us from the month of Ramadan. So they will be very busy and very active on these first few days, on these few days before the month of Ramadan, so that they can make us get busy with something and we will waste the whole month. Similarly, they are going to be very active and very strong right after Ramadan because they took a vacation for a month and they want to grab as much as they can from us. So having this in mind, I agree with Brother Altaf Hussain. We have to get in the mood of Ramadan in these few days. If we do not go for Fajr in Jama'ah for the brothers, we start. For the sisters, they should make their salah on time. We should get in the spirit of giving in these few days. We should open the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these few days. Get into Ramadan. Don't wait, as Brother Altaf said, when the moon is being sighted here or elsewhere, and then you think, and the first thing on top of your mind is to go shopping for Ramadan. So anyway, this is just a reminder. Shaitan is going to be very active in these few days before Ramadan to get us busy with something so that we can lose the whole spirit of Ramadan. Now getting to the topic about the Prophet and the Sahaba and how they spent Ramadan. We know that Ramadan was prescribed in the second year after Hijrah. Second year after Hijrah, this is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina. In the second year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed this pillar of Islam, along with also the pillar of zakah, along with another obligation, which is jihad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed only how many Ramadans? How many Ramadans did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observe? If fasting was prescribed in the second year, and he died on Rabi' al-Awwal, the 10th year, so how many Ramadans? He died Rabi' al-Awwal 10th year. 8 years. He died 10th year before Ramadan. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the month of Rajab kicks in, so that's 2 months before Ramadan. When the month of Rajab used to enter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua. What is it? Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, bless the month of Rajab for us. Bless the month of Sha'ban for us. And give us the opportunity to live through the month of Ramadan. You mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alerting the companions 60 days before about the importance of Ramadan? Yes. As a matter of fact, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that we, meaning the Sahaba, used to prepare for Ramadan after the completion of Ramadan. They used to wish and really think about getting another opportunity to live through the month of Ramadan. Therefore, they made the month of Ramadan, Ramadan all around. The Ramadan the whole year. And we know that according to Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he, as a matter of fact, it's very hard to give a description how the companions spent Ramadan, because very little writing was done about this. It's because that, you know, why they should say, you know, they acted according to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they just did it. But there's one thing I found profound by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim when he said that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, they used to bid farewell to each other before the beginning of Ramadan, because according to Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, they used to think that this is a special intense time of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not necessarily just indulging into social affairs. Of course, part of the spirit of Ramadan is collectivity. That's why we pray Taraweeh together. But what is the priority in the minds of the Sahaba? It is an intense devotional time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu ta'ala mentioned in his book. Now, we know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed fasting in the second year of Hijrah, fasting took a difficult form in the beginning, because Muslims also were required to keep the fast during the night and not approach their spouses during the night. So as a matter of fact, they were given a short time in which they can break their fast, and then they have to keep the fast the whole night and then the whole day. And of course, this was a difficult form of fasting for the Sahaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the concession, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةُ الصِّيَامُ الرَّفَةُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. The famous ayah that talks about fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now made lawful for you to approach your legal spouses during the nights of Ramadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say that وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And eat and drink till the black thread is distinct from the white thread at the time of the dawn. So this is a concession from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given to this Muslim ummah. And just imagine that, because the same goes with the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed in the beginning how many salah? 50. And just imagine, it was of course a very difficult thing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have prescribed it on us, it would have been a very difficult thing. Because if you distributed around the 24 hours, all of us would have been in such as a very severe time. just making the intention of doing the 45th prayer. I make the intention to do the 45th prayer. And how about if you are not sure if you have done the 17th prayer or the 26th prayer? So it could have been indeed a very severe time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His compassion and mercy, He made it into 5, but the reward is 50. Similarly, when it comes to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to appreciate His mercy and compassion. So the fasting was made lighter. That's why in the description of the verses talking about fasting in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires to make things easy for you. He does not want to put you in difficulty. So, what can we understand from this point? We understand from this point that fasting is a form of compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a form of punishment. This is what we have to bear in mind. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say this khutbah. And the khutbahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very short. If you actually, there is a collection, a book entitled The Khutab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at all the khutbahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's just a maximum of 2 pages that you can read them in about 2 to 3 or 4 minutes. Maximum. But the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are like bullets. They hit the mark. And they are very profound words. So I'm just going to share with you one of these khutbas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, alerting them about the month of Ramadan. And this hadith is narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, that he said, خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِّنْ شَعْبَانٍ فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ كَرِيمٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَ نَهَارِهِ فَرِيضَةً وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَطَوُّعًا من تقرب فيه بخصلة من خصل الخير كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه ومن أدى فيه فريضة كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه وهو شهر الصبر والصبر ثوابه الجنة وهو شهر يزاد فيه رزق العبد من فطر فيه صائما كان مغفرة لذنوبه وعتقا لرقبته من النار وكان له مثل أجره من غير أن ينقص من أجره شيء قالوا ليس كلنا يجد ما يفطر به صائما فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم يعطي الله هذا الثواب من فطر صائما على تمرة أو على شربة ماء وهو شهر أوله رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخره عتق من النار والحديث صحيح على شرط رجال الحديث. This is the I took even less than 1 minute to share this khutbah with you. Now you can imagine if you go to Jummah and you tell the brother that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in less than 1 minute. Now let me share with you the meaning. It's a very succinct, very clear-cut words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O people, you are about to receive a very generous, blessed, great month from Allah. It is a month during which there is a special night which is better than 1,000 months of good deeds. That's in parenthesis. It is a month during which that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made its siyam, fasting, during its day as an obligation. Had made its observance of Qiyam, which is Taraweeh, as a recommended thing. Okay. Now, here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said two important informations. And you will find them very important because it gives a very profound meaning. And really, if you look at it, especially this aspect about this special night, which is better than, it's not equal to, better than 1,000 months. If you look at the average span of our lifetime in this world, it runs between 60, 70, 80 years. Now, out of that 60, 70, 80 years, how much we devote ourselves exclusively for Allah? Exclusively, we're not counting, you know, the maybe 25 years out of that 60 or 70 years in heavy traffic. We're not counting that. How much we devote out of this time span of our life exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amazingly, it is very little. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, part of His mercy, infinite mercy, is that He gave us one night, okay, during the month of Ramadan, that's better than 1,000 months in good deeds. 1,000 months is about 83 years of good deeds, continuous good deeds, continuous devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see the difference? Having just very little time in our time span, lifespan devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one night if we really work hard. But what is that night specifically, we don't know. We have to pursue it, we have to look for it, we have to make an effort to observe it. One night, if we do it properly, it is better than 84 years of continuous devotion exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is such a big incentive for all of us to really work hard. We are talking about Jannah and hellfire. We are talking about paradise and hellfire. We are not talking about a possible 5,000 promotion in your paycheck. We are talking about very essential issues. We are talking about salvation from the hellfire. We are talking about admission to Jannah. We are talking about the companionship with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are talking about infinite blessings. We are talking about infinite time in Jannah. So isn't it an incentive for us to really work hard during this month and to get salvation from the hellfire? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upgrades the deeds, the good deeds during this month. And what is the formula of upgrading? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, if you do a sunnah or a voluntary thing, it will be upgraded to the status of an obligation. So if you are praying two sunnah or two nafl, it will be upgraded to the status of an obligation. It will be upgraded to the status of dhuhr. Now, if we pray the obligation, or if we do the obligation, it will be upgraded to 70 rewards. And if you just look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us a very rare chance to accumulate not millions but billions of hasanat. If you of course reading the Quran, what is the status of reading the Quran? The status of reading the Quran is wajib, it's an obligation. That's why part of the prayer is that you have to read the Quran. You have to read. Your salah is not valid if you don't read Surah Al-Fatiha. So it is an obligation. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that in normal days, if you read one letter, you will get a reward, and each reward is multiplied by 10. Now if you read the same letter during the month of Ramadan, it's multiplied by 10 times 70 is 700. Each letter. And I did a little bit of calculation. If you complete the whole Quran, it is 152 million hasanat. Just one reading of the whole Quran. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues, it is the month of patience. It is the month of patience. This is such a profound word. It's the month of patience. It is the month of patience. And patience, the reward of patience, the hadith says, is paradise. See the prerequisites. So we have to be patient, and the reward of patience is paradise. And it is a month during which the rizq of a believer is increased. This comes to the point of energy. I talk to you that when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, good things come to you more. And this is the words of who? The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who always speaks the truth. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever feeds a fasting person, he will get three things. كَانَ مَغْفِرَةً لِذُنُوبِ He will get, or she will get, his or her sins forgiven. وَعِتْقًا لِرَقَبَتِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ His or her neck being ransomed from the hellfire. And you will get the same reward as the fasting person without diminishing the fasting person's rewards. And then the Sahaba said, not all of us find something to feed a fasting person at the time of the breaking of the fast. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this reward for anyone who feeds a fasting person at the time of breaking fast, even by giving one date or giving one sip of water. Okay. And the last thing about this khutbah, it is a month, the first of which is rahmah, the middle of which is maghfirah, which is forgiveness, and the last of which is ransom from the hellfire. And this is just the second page. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pages more, but the time is up. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.